We can tell who's from Southern California by his hat. You missed the, what's it called? Polar... Global warming meets polar... What's the other word? Vortex. Lots of snow. Could be worse. There's something like 2 feet of snow in Boston or something like that. Could be worse. So some of you have come from faraway distances. Not quite as far as California, but far away distances. Thank you for coming. This is our topic, Anartha Nivritti. And the purpose of this morning's class is to introduce the topic and then roll on from there. The term Anartha Nivritti is taken from Rupa Goswami. Hare Krishna. Taken from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And has two parts, anartha and nivritti. Artha means something wanted or something valued, or these are just dictionary definitions, gain, purpose or meaning, importance. A nice reference for this word, artha, two. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Standard for the whole of what the Vedic wisdom teaches is these four. Dharma, just like the topic of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wants to know what is my duty. Dharma. And for most people, the purpose of Dharma is artha, something they want, or something to be gained. And commonly, it's translated as economic development. Money. And different ways of saying it softer, but because most people want that because that to them represents the next thing. Kama. Desire. Fulfilling desire requires money. Generally, that's the thought process. So people do dharma so they can get artha, so they can get money or enjoyment. And after fulfilling those material desires, this is basically Daksha's complaint to Narada. You cheated my sons. They didn't get to do the Dharma Artha Kama thing. You sent them right away to sannyas. You bad person. That's one reference of artha. Then there's another very significant reference to artha in Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the Chatur Shloki verses of Srimad. There's four verses of the Bhagavatam that teach the essence of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses. So just learn those four verses and you've understood the whole thing. Of course, the other parts are very sweet. Amrita. But the verse indicates that whatever it is that persons consider to have artha, or value, or importance, or all of these, any one of these other things, independent of Krishna, know that to be my illusory energy, Maya. So some persons are attached to things that they consider are wanted or valued or gained according to the modes of nature. Everyone has something that they consider to be valuable or... And then the prefix anartha is the negation of that. The unwanted things, and then nivritti. Nivritti means eradication or removal. Anartha nivritti. That's the topic. How to remove things that are unwanted. Now this word anartha has, there's other similar words found in the Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, abhadra, similar. Bhadra, there she is, Lady Subhadra. Bhadra means auspicious, and abhadra means the opposite, inauspicious. So those things that are inauspicious can be nashta. Nashta is similar to nivritti, and abhadra is similar to anartha. So nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. How? Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Prabhupada has explained that bhagavata means in relation to, and all I'm just trying to do here is define our topic for this weekend. So bhagavata grammatically means in relation to Bhagavan. Bhagavata has two meanings, the book, Bhagavata, and the person, Bhagavata. And so by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we know the word seva is devotional service. So by rendering service to the book and the person, Bhagavata, then Nashta Abhadra. The Abhadra is unwanted things, inauspicious things are Nashta. And it's gradual, and so the word in between is prayeshu. Prayeshu. Prayena payushakshavya kalavasmin yugejana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya yupadracha. It's a literary ornament that such a word is repeated and the consonant sound is repeated, but it also for sake of emphasis. This age of Kali is manda. Bad. Everything is diminished, the verse is describing. And so in that prayeshu, the prayenal, everything good is almost gone. So the Bhagavatam is saying, by this process of Bhagavata seva, serving the person and the book Bhagavata, then this anartha nivritti process or abhadras can be removed. Inauspicious things can be moved. You can get to where you want to go. You can become wholesome in your spiritual life. This is one of the stages in the bhakti process. Here's the verse. Our version is Nectar Devotion, which is a summary study of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of devotion. So, nectar devotion. Most of you, many of you know this verse. Let us say it together. Adaushata tatak sadhu sango tapajana kriya tato narta nivritti syat tato nishta ruchistata asaktistato bhavas tata premabhyam abhichanti sadhakanam anyam vena karmaha. So they put it in different colored letters. There's this word anartha nivritti, and I just did the translation up to anartha nivritti. Here's taken directly from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 10, purport. In the beginning, adao, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated, sadhu sangha. In the next stage, one becomes initiated, that was really quick, by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. So that's the bhajana kriya. Consistently, Prabhupada put the initiation element or stage of bhakti within that bhajana kriya. And then following, by execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment. Yay! That's the anartha nivritti. So it looked like the first three happened really quickly and the fourth one doesn't happen so quickly. So that's our topic. So with the reference is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And again, following Rupa Goswami, because Rupa Goswami has given to us two things. Lord Chaitanya's teachings to him and the message of Srimad Bhagavatam as he understood from Lord Chaitanya. And the good news is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Srimad Bhagavatam are the same. Srimad Bhagavatam is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is Srimad Bhagavatam. Either way you like it, they're the same. So he's giving Rupa Goswami in this nectar devotion Nana Shastra Pachara Naika Nipuno Saddharma Samsthapako with the other Goswamis. He, Rupa Goswami, studied Nana Shastra, various, all the revealed scriptures, and gave us the essence in this, particularly as far as the bhakti process in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Prabhupada very kindly gave us his summary study following Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And similarly, in the line of disciplic succession came Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who wrote a book, Madhurya Kandambani, describing the stages of bhakti. And in the Anartha Nivritti section, which is chapter 3, he has this nice analysis. So the topic has been defined, and now we're going to give you three ways, one from Vishwanath, and two slightly different variations on the theme from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of where do these anarthas arise from? What's their origin? How do you get them, and then how do you get rid of them? That's the nivritti part. So first, where do they come in? So, in chapter 3, the chapter dealing with anartha nivritti, Vishwanath says that anarthas can be classified into four types according to their origin. And the first one those arising from previous sinful activity, which is really easy to understand. You do sinful activity somewhere in the past, and something that's impure comes into the heart. So the way that he presents this is, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, all of those things in category number one can be eliminated. The nivritti part is chant the holy name, and previous sinful activity, the results of that is impurities of the heart, eradicated. Chant the holy name. Then comes one that's a little more difficult, but not so difficult. Anartas, unwanted things in the heart that arise from previous pious activity. And so I do pious activity and I get some anartas. How's that? Well, just keeping it really simple. If you do pious activities, what happens? Well, most people do pious activities because they want the fruits of piety. And the fruits of piety is you prosper. And then if your heart's not yet pure and you're prosperous, you try to become the enjoyer of the fruits of those pious acts. And that's a contamination of heart. That's not exactly the pious activities in themselves or the fruits of those pious activities. It's the contamination of independent enjoyment of those things. So that's the problem. Good news? Chant the holy name. And the holy name has the potency to take away that, not the fruits of your piety, that possibly also depending upon your circumstance, but the tendency to want to be the independent enjoyer, because the chanting of the holy name awakens the desire to be Krishna's servant. And then the third, from where anartas arise, is arising from offenses. So then he describes following Rupa Goswami from Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, just like those of you that are familiar with Nectar Devotion. There's 64 items of devotional service. And basically they're seva items, rendering service to the deity primarily, and the Vaishnavas. So 64 items, you do them, it's beneficial for you in the category of bhakti. But if you make offenses when doing those things, then some impurity appears in the heart. Some anarta appears in the heart. Now the good news is, chant the holy name. And those impurities that come from mistakes or offenses made in the course of your devotional service, those impurities are removed by the power of the holy name. Now comes the more difficult part. What if you make offenses when chanting the holy name? Problema. So, the big part of that chapter 3 is how to overcome the offenses against the holy name. And he doesn't go through the whole list, but Nectar Devotion presents the whole list. So does it presented in chapter 3 of Madhurya Kadambini. There's 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name listed in Padma Purana, which in most of our temples all over the world we recite in the morning as offenses to be avoided. So he goes through some of them and explains how to overcome them. So that's where we're going to focus next. Because of number 3, the singular importance, we do seva, and we engage in devotional service in varieties of ways, But of paramount importance amongst all activities of devotional services, chanting the holy name. So we'll focus on that next. And then another curious one is anarthas that arise from bhakti itself. Well, wait a minute. If I can avoid the offenses over here in seva and avoid the offenses in chanting the holy name, I'm still going to get anarthas from bhakti itself. So how does that work? And he explains, again, keeping it very simple. Supposing you're a nice devotee. Just supposing you're a nice devotee. And you do some nice service. And somebody says, oh, Prabhu, you did such nice service. They give you some honor. Let's give you, you know, 5 gold stars after your name on your report card or, you know, something. A child, you know, can recite so many slokas at Gita Jayanti. Oh, you. A little success in devotional service and something may come to you from that little success. And you may want to be the enjoyer of that little success that comes to you. That's sin and impurity. So, watch out. It's not, don't be successful. Beware of the enjoying propensity. That's the nub or the heart of this one. And similarly to number two. Trying to be the enjoyer of the fruits of piety, trying to be the enjoyer of a little success in devotional service. And then, you know, so then you, maybe you pass that hill, then you come to a bigger hill, and then you come to another mountain, and just keep going. And, you know, the tendency to be the enjoyer is strong. That's why we're here. So one has to overcome that as well. And that's by staying in this humble mood of service. You're going to hear a lot about humility as we go along in this whole subject. So that's part one. Well, the topic, anartha devritti, and part one is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's recitation, or his the picture of how do you get anarthas and how to get rid of them? Anartha nivritti. Since the chanting of the holy name is so important in the bhakti process, particularly for the followers of Mahaprabhu, but actually it's there in the Bhagavatam, you'll see in a moment. Here's a verse, and then next is the purport. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu says, of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, small caveat here, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. Of the 9 of the 10 processes, one is paramount with this little requirement, without offenses. Here's Jiva Goswami's comment on this, quoted in the purport, Prabhupada's purport. Chanting of the holy name is the chief means of attaining love of Godhead. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor on one's having taken birth in a good family. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment all great sacrifices, penances, and austerities, because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he attains complete perfection of life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And this is in Prabhupada's purport, quoting Jiva Goswami. So now we're going forward of the nine process of devotional service, just like in the Bhagavatam is hearing Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, serving the person Bhagavata and serving the book Bhagavata, that's hearing and carrying out the instructions from the Bhagavata book and person. That's devotional service. And particularly the name has this singular importance. So some glories of the holy name. This part is fun. They'll have Dravida do the honor. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, do it again.
Hare Krishna. Nikala Shuti Maule Ratna Mala Ditine Rajata Para Panka Janta Hai Mukta Kolaira Pasya Manam Paritas Tvam Hari Nam Sankriyami.
Oh, Hari Nam. I like this one. It's one of my favorites. The tips of the toes of your lotus feet, O Harinam, are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You, O Harinam, are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadeva. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. So I'll take a little bit of time. We could spend lots of time, just a little bit of time, appreciating what's being conveyed. This is the first of eight verses by Rupa Goswami, glorifying the holy name. So, in essence, the holy name is a person. And just as persons have feet, and feet have toes, the holy name has feet and toes. And you know, the feet are not the highest part of a body, it's not so special. The feet get dirty. But the feet of Krishna is sought after by everyone, and the feet of the holy name is being sought after by the crown jewels within a king's treasury. King's treasury, there's jewels. And amongst the jewels, some are the most excellent of all the jewels, and those are considered crown jewels. And the crown jewels of the Vedas are the Upanishads, and they're radiant, effulgent. And the effulgence of those crown jewels of all the Vedas are constantly worshipping the toes of the feet of the holy name. Some people like the Upanishads. I know some people. And those people should read this verse. They should understand where the Upanishads are pointing towards. Generally they don't. They have another idea. But Rupa Goswami's appreciation is, this is the perfection of all the Vedas, the chanting of the holy name. And the second is Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto, the holy name is always in a liberated position, but saying it poetically, the liberated souls, Shukadeva and Narada and others, they eternally adore this fully liberated holy name, Nitya Mukto. It's liberated.
One note on the word Nirajita. Okay. This is in this verse. This is what happens in the artik. These effulgence is like you can imagine all these jewels doing artik for the toes of the nails. That's what's going on.
In the the archana process, this is called nirajita. No kidding. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. Next one. Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Go ahead.
Jayati Jayati Namananda Rupam Murare Vidimita Nija Dharma Dhyani Pujari Yatnam Katamapi Sakrat Atam Muktidam Praninam Yat Padamamamita Mekam Jivanam Bhushanam Me.
All glories to the all blissful holy name of Sri Krishna, which causes the devotee to give up all conventional religious duties, meditation, and worship, but somehow or other, uttered even once by a living entity, the holy name awards him liberation. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. This is Rupa Goswami's brother. Sanatana Goswami from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It is his very life and his only treasure, and he gives reasons why. It's not, blind. There's very strong, deep, compelling reasons why he reveres the holy name, the all-blissful holy name of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.
Etanne vidyamananam icchatam akatobhayam yoginam paninitam harinamam kirtanam.
There we have Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit in the assembly of great sages. There's the four Kumaras, they look like little kids. There's Narada Muni with his Veena and Vyasadeva and so forth. So, O King, Shukadeva Goswami, who reveres the holy name, says to Maharaj Parikshit, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. It's best, and it's best, and it's best. It's the best. There isn't something better. These are glories. And one more.
Itavaniva lokesmin pungsangamak paraksmitaha bhakti yoga bhagavati.
Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. So, one can go on and on for hours, but these are samplers of glories of the holy name. So, the holy name has such an important function in the life of a devotee of Krishna. And, in some cases, the holy name will appear in full force in the heart of the chanter. And, or but, in other cases, mist of ignorance and the clouds of anartas will minimize the effect of the name on the chanter. So this language is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's language, by the way. These two metaphors, mist and clouds, the mist of ignorance and the clouds of anartas. Just like mist or clouds, they block the brilliance of the sun. You don't get the full effect of the sun when there's mist or there's clouds. He writes in Harinam Chintamani, this is now Bhakti Vinod Thakur. We're moving on to another frame of reference besides Vishwanath's. The holy name, like the sun, dispels the darkness of illusion. However, sometimes mist or clouds cover the sun from the viewer, so that only a portion of light comes through. In the same way, when ignorance and anarthas predominate, the sun of the holy name becomes covered, and only a portion of the full effect of the name is felt. So now we're into this anartha nivritti. The glories of the holy name have been established. However, or but, sometimes there's the full radiance of the holy name we don't experience. He then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, gives this reference of support from Vishnu Dharma. A heart contaminated with passion does not concentrate on the Lord. A swan never develops attraction for muddy water. A person indulging in lies cannot praise the Lord. The moon covered by clouds does not remove darkness. That's our material condition. There's things in the heart that don't belong there, and it's blocking the full effect of bhakti, and particularly the holy name. Now here's a similar reference quoted from Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami's writing, where he quotes Padma Purana, a section of Padma Purana called Nam Aparad Bhajana Stotra. Oh, Brahmana, when pronounced properly or not, it appears in the voice, walks on the path of memory, or enters the ears. If it is not stopped by offenses, a single utterance of the holy name of the Lord carries one beyond the world of birth and death. However, if the chanter commits offenses, or if he chants to attain wealth, followers, or the happiness of this material body, he will be thrown into the world of birth and death, and his chanting will not quickly bring the desired result. So these ideas, for anyone that's been involved in Krishna consciousness, understands these ideas. These are just scriptural references to help us give support to the message that we're focusing on during this weekend together. So the good news again, once the clouds and mist are removed, this anartha nivritti process becomes effective, successful. The sun of the holy name shines brilliantly once more and bestows upon the devotee love of God. So now, part two. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing another model of where anarthas arise from, or what's their source. And this particular reference is Bhajana Rahasya. So it's the model, or the way of explaining, is different than Vishwanath. It's just a different way of explaining. It's quite okay. He begins the whole message by saying that all aparads stem from ignorance. And the essence of all ignorance, you know, the primordial ignorance, is ignoring Krishna. Bahir Mukhajiv, turning our mukha, our face, away from Krishna. Bahir Mukhajiv. And he calls, Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls this tattva vibhrama. And notice the spelling, it's B-H-R-A-M-A, not the other spelling. Brahma is one of the four defects of conditioned souls. We make mistakes. Has anybody here never made a mistake? I guess we've all the same cat. We make mistakes. And this Brahma is big mistake. And tattva vibhrama is mistaken understanding of tattva, or the truths, ultimately the truths about Krishna, Krishna tattva. And then there's other kinds of tattva we'll see in just a moment. But that's where, according to Bhajan Rahasya, that's where anarthas or making offenses and then the consequence of offenses arises from tattva vibrahma, ignorance of the truth. And so he has this Bhajan Rahasya. It's the categories of tattva vibrahma, illusion about spiritual knowledge in particular, and, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts to detail. There's different categories of tattva vibrahma. And but first, the principle is mistaking the self to be what the self isn't. And the most common one is we think that we're prakriti or matter, we're the body. Look any direction, but there's material nature, that's who I am, I'm a product of material nature. Exactly as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, the demoniac mentality thinks life is simply created by sexual intercourse, and so mom and dad and me, and that's it. I'm product of matter. Their matter mixed together made me. That's me and mom and dad, and that's it. So it's a mistaken understanding of self. The proper understanding of self is we're the soul that animates the body, and when the soul leaves the body, there's no animation left. In fact, the whole thing disintegrates into its elements again. And from that tattva vibrahma, there's a chain reaction, which is material desires, or desires in relation to the mistaken conception of self. You'll see. Desire is not a problem. Mistaken desire, that's the problem. And the mistaken desire is rooted in a mistaken sense of spiritual reality. And then we do, you know, mistaken things, and we get reactions for those mistaken things. So that's the logic, that offenses that then result in unwanted things in the heart stem from ignorance. So it would make sense to think something you have to do is have knowledge instead of ignorance. You have to read Bhagavad Gita along with chanting Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam along with chanting Hare Krishna. We need those things along with chanting Hare Krishna. So he says there are four types. I'm not going to dwell on this. It's not so important, but it's interesting. So there's illusion about one's own identity, sva tattva, who I am. And then there's para tattva, illusion about who God is. And there's sadhya sadhana brahma, or illusion regarding subjects about sadhana, the practice, and the goal, sadhya, or prema bhakti. And then virodhi vishaya brahma, illusion regarding subjects favorable to Krishna consciousness. So you gotta go to school. You have to have a teacher. You have to learn what's what. You know, sambandha gyan, according to Haridas Thakur, is essential. If you're going to progress in the chanting of the holy name to develop your spiritual life, you have to have sambandha gyan. To have sambandha gyan, you have to have a teacher. Not an option. It's a requirement. Then from mistaken understanding of spiritual truth comes desire that's misdirected. Material desire. He uses this term asat, Trishna. Trishna means thirst, and asat means the temporary or impermanent or material desire. But so behind material desire, there's ignorance, or vibrahma, tattva vibrahma. pardon me while I do a little detour. From my visit to China, I've shared this many times, but it's become necessary to know something about Buddhism, something that I didn't know before I started going to China. And the a core teaching of Buddha is desire is the root of suffering. So the solution is get out a dagger and just kill desire. Become desireless. And when you become desireless, what's left? Nothing. Excuse me. Nirvana sounds nice, but really it's nothing. Nothingness. What's the goal? Nothingness. What's reality? Nothingness. So make your choice. You want misery, or do you want no misery? So if you want no misery, go to this nothingness position. How do you do it? Become desireless. You can't become desireless as long as you have Tattva Vibhrama. Well, he threw out the Vedas. It gives Tattva Gan. So you start with Tattva Vibhrama, you're not going to get to Asat Trishna, freedom from thirst for the impermanent. You can stifle it, put it in the straitjacket and blindfold and gag yourself, sit in a padded cell and become nothingness. But desire is there. Without proper sambandhagyan or Krishna tattva, it's going to come out again. It has to come out again because it's there, it's of the soul. Problem. The similar idea is, you'll see in just a moment, is Vishwanath Chakravarti says it so nicely. So then from ignorance or tattva vibhrama comes desire that's driven by a wrong understanding of who we are. Then comes offenses, all kinds of offenses. And then from that comes weakness of heart. This is bhajan or rahasya. And this weakness of heart, or hridaya dorbalya, does anybody recall seeing this in Bhagavad Gita? In Bhagavad Gita? Where is it in Bhagavad Gita besides Dravida? Anybody know? Yes. I'm right in front of you and I can't hear you. Jamuna Jivana. Yeah. How has this Anaryan, one who knows the higher purpose of life is an Aryan, although you're an Aryan, you have this. You know what's right, but the weakness of heart is you can't do it. You know what's right. Have you experienced knowing what's right, and then you don't do it? And then you go, oh gosh, let me go back and think more carefully about what's right, and yes, I'm going to, and then we don't do it. Weakness of heart. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur very kindly says there's four different types of Hridaya Dorbalyam. Attachment to trifling things unrelated to Krishna. It's, Asat Krishna. You just carry on with attachment to those temporary things. We're going to see, I put these in color because you're going to see them again, attachment to trifling things. Deceit. This evening you'll find out about this one from another model. By this other model is going to be Jiva Goswami explaining this kutinati, fault finding or deception. Kautilyam, he calls it, Jiva Goswami, but different category of weakness of heart. Envy of someone else's progress, Matsarya, and longing for position and fame, Sva Pratishtata. Sva Pratishtata is similar to, not the same as, but it's that fourth item in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's anarchas that arise from bhakti. So when you get some success, a little success, or longing for that little success because I want recognition, I want a position, I want a title. And, you know, just keep your eyes open a little bit and you'll see it. It's there. Not for the purpose of serving the mission or serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the spiritual master, but I want a position. I want some title. I want some recognition. I feel very happy. And if I don't get it, I feel, you know, discouraged. It goes on. Because of this. And that's this weakness of heart, although we know better. So, Sri Rupa's here? Okay. Yeah. You're going to hear Sri Rupa recorded singing this verse. This is one of Queen Kunti's prayers, chapter 8. And we can sing responsively. But the reason for doing this is there's a commentary by Vishwanath that's right on the same topic from Queen Kunti's prayers. There's symmetry in our Krishna conscious teachings. And yet others say that you appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul's suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Now this is the concluding verse from a little subsection in her prayers where she's speaking about the inconceivable nature of Krishna. One of those inconceivable things about Krishna is, although he is unborn, he takes birth. Inconceivable is a contradiction. How can you be unborn and be born? It's bewildering to many people, and she counts herself amongst those many people, but then she gives different reasons. Some people say, although you're unborn, you're born this reason, that reason, the other reason, and then there's this reason. So the problem of anartha was recited earlier, and then the Lord appears in order to reverse that, revitalize the processes of devotional service, starting with hearing, remembering, worshiping, and so on. Why? To help us with this anartha nivritti program and come to the stage of love for Krishna. So here's Vishwanath's commentary. I like it very much. This is the real reason for the Lord's appearance. First, There is ignorance, avidya, and then desire, specifically ignorant desire. First comes ignorance, then comes ignorant desire, and then action, ignorant action, karma bihi. You come to engage those suffering due to, and then reverse, actions arising from material desires which are due to ignorance in actions for attaining prema. The destruction of suffering is incidental because it is said in the next verse that the result of hearing about the Lord is seeing the lotus feet of the Lord by seeing the Lord when attains prema. Just reconfirming everything that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in Bhajana Rahasya. No surprise. Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't just imaginatively pull things out of the air. He's following our great acharyas. So from that ignorance comes material desire, and from material desire comes fruit of activity. But the Lord then descends, specifically Mahaprabhu, to give the holy name, provided we carefully attend to the anarjanavritti process, or the proper performance of chanting of the holy name. And we're almost done. A third reference is Harinam Chintamani. It's a slightly different listing of from where anarjas arise, or from whence, which is better. Oh, okay. So he starts in this little list, Asat, Trishna, and miserliness of heart, Hridaya, Dorabalyam, they're connected, and offenses, aparad. So his advice in Harinam Chintamani is attend to these things. The Asat Trishna is by Krishna Trishna. Develop a thirst for Krishna. And miserliness of heart, from spiritual strength that comes from chanting the holy name properly, then the things that you know that are to be done, you do them. Not miserliness of heart, I do something else. But so this thing of offense, that's the nub. That's like, you have to be, for an anarjanavritti, very critical. We engage in the bhakti process and carefully guard against offenses. No small thing, big thing. Okay, that's the morning class to describe the topic, anarjanavritti. What does it mean? Where does the topic come from, the language? What have our acharyas said? How do they arise? And in principle, we'll go into details, but in principle, how to become free from them. So any discussion? Comments from anybody? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So it seems like there are two strains of our philosophy in regard to the effectiveness of bhakti. On one side, we're encouraged. Just chant the holy name. Everything will be given to you. Everything will be cleared up, and there's no doubt about that. And there's many places where you can find that.
Sure.
But then we find by this kind of analysis, yes, but in the chanting there has to be the freedom of offense, a freedom from offense, and then there's always these other things that we have to worry about.
Yeah.
So there's these both sides. So how is it automatic, or is it, you know, is it a big slog? I mean, we have to. How does it work, or is it both of those things?
Well, my understanding is perhaps oversimplistic, but my understanding is when one takes up the process, Krishna is very kind, and he gives the other resources to help one reach the goal. And one just has to say yes to those resources that Krishna gives to reach the goal. Instead of being a mechanical performer, one has to be a devotional performer. And with devotional performer, so I'm a student, and there's a teacher, Krishna, and his representatives. So he's giving teachings how to chant effectively. But, you know, so I start with faith, and then I get tools how to grow that faith and nurture that faith, and it just, it flows. It's not one or the other, it's one flows. You just keep going. Listen. As you listen to the name, Krishna is very kind, and as he's given his name through his representatives, he'll give teachings how to do effectively. It's just part of the process. It's like, you know, a kid that wants to play mridanga. You can just pick up the mridanga and start banging on the mridanga. And then people go, you know, you should take some mridanga lessons. Anyway, and then he practices and practices, and with a good mridanga teacher, he'll become a good mridanga player. So it's part of, it's not a, well, you said it very nicely. It's not an exaggeration or hyperbole or, you know, a hook to get people into something that then they get punched in the nose because they weren't told that you have to chant properly, not just chant. It's not cheating. It's not a deception. It's part of the process. As we continue with chanting, we find refinements. Different mridanga beats, for example, and the cook that you'll learn so many nice things about cooking besides just go in and cut up some vegetables and throw them in a pot and turn on the heat, see what happens. There's the refinement in the art of cooking and so on. Refinement in the art of chanting. Resources that Krishna gives to get to that goal that's promised at the very beginning. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you. We are told to chant and hear the vibrations, feel the vibrations, whatnot. Maybe I'm getting that a little off, but is it? I know we should try to pronounce the names
yes.
properly, but is it important to have great diction or enunciate
no.
properly? Because I no.
It's important, but it's not, you know, an absolute, it's not an absolute principle. You won't get the result of chanting unless you have precise pronunciation. That's not the requirement. We try. You know, like, you have a name. I don't know what your name is. But, it, you know, you when you tell me your name, I want to pronounce your name as you pronounce your name. And spell your name the way you spell your name because, you know, it's personal to do that. At the same time, if I mispronounce your name, hopefully you won't take an offense, and you'll understand I'm calling you.
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada speaks like that in relation to Krishna. The precise pronunciation is not essential. Krishna knows you're calling him.
Thank you.
Yeah. In the front, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was wondering about Vaishnava Aparadhas because
Vaishnava Aparadha
because offenses towards the devotees because
it's Chaitanya. Category number 3 offenses from Vishwanath's list.
Yeah. Chaitanya Bhagavat mentions that those who commit Vaishnava Aparadhas, the same holy name which liberates everyone and uplifts everyone will destroy the offender.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the good news? How do we become free from?
Well, the good news is you avoid it. You get proper guidance, who is a Vaishnava and how to act, and then you follow that good guidance, not with, you know, negligence, but with attention. that it follows from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's model. I'm just sticking with, you know, the frame of the topic here. Tattva vibrahma, and one of them is not understanding the position of the living entity and the unique position of a devotee amongst living entities. So not having a proper understanding, the correction is having a proper understanding and then acting according to the proper understanding. That's how it's corrected. And if we don't, we get a black eye. Okay, someone else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. I have a question about, you mentioned earlier, and it's been emphasized many times, offenseless chanting, you know, it's a very simple concept, but does it mean, it says the 10 offenses, but it doesn't say like just general offenses that aren't really directly connected to the holy name. So like, I'm just curious if
your service is awakened by the chanting of the holy name. The call of the holy name is, please engage me in service. It's awakening, say it the other way, it's awakening the soul's natural desire to be in service. That's from our side, and we're calling Krishna to please engage, or Radharani, please engage us in Krishna's service. So then we do a service. And some of the 10 offenses are in connection to service, not just what's happening while you have your hand in your beanbag or in kirtan. It's offense against the holy name in terms of other services, just like this remark here about Vaishnava Parad.
Okay. Thank you.
Behind you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful class. I have a question about the second slide you had on Madhurya Kadambini.
Okay.
You had the third one. The third one was anarthas arising from offenses. Yeah, that one, Maharaj. So, is there a very subtle difference between offense and anartha?
Is there a difference between the two? Yes. Anartha is the consequence, and the offense is the act that brings the consequence, cause and effect.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. On the ladies' side, anything? Back there, you have something? Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Whoa! I think it had the volume up because he was very soft. Okay, now go ahead. Well, he's going to control the volume so you don't knock everybody over.
This anartha nivritti process is so long. Is it because of our long association with this material nature? Or?
Well, it's different things. The Bible teaches like this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, our determination isn't so great. You say long association. Sure. And our affinity for matter is very strong. We're attached. We're attached to the sources of our misery. Really dumb. But, you know, lots of things in life are like that. Misuse of free will is, we're addicted to it. And once you're addicted, it's hard to get rid of an addiction, isn't it? Go ahead.
Is that the same reason, I mean, even though I realize that there is understanding...
Speak slowly.
Is that the same reason, even though when I realize that there is an anartha in my heart, I mean, it's very difficult to act on it, or difficult to get rid of it. I know that there is anartha in my heart.
Okay.
So, but, still, I mean, it's very, very difficult to get rid of it. I mean, still I will be...
Well, that's the bad news. The good news is, da-da-da-da, Krishna is pure. Just associate with Krishna. You make effort, but on your own, you can't do it. That's what you're saying. Good news is, Krishna will help you. And Krishna is always victorious. Wherever there's Arjuna and Krishna, there's always be victory. Just get Krishna on your side. Just keep, you know, calling out to Krishna in this humble mood of depending upon He's the Supreme Pure. The sun can purify any contaminated place. Yes?
Yes.
So, that bhakti. It's not just dependent upon your effort. That's the good news. Krishna is very kind. You can count on that. Krishna is very kind, and He's supremely pure, and He'll help you. So in your effort to try to become free from anarthas, it's not just, I'll say this, at the very first class, and I'll repeat it again at the end, and probably say it somewhere in the middle, our process is not to become anartha conscious. Our process is to become Krishna conscious. And the means of getting freed from anarthas is bhajana kriya. Don't put the cart before the horse, put the horse before the cart. The horse is bhajana kriya that arises in association with sadhu, that is awarded by Krishna when He sees you want self-realization. So put those first three in proper place, the other one will follow. Krishna will help you. Don't make your own efforts, you know, the means of reaching the goal. You won't get there. Even you're sincere, you won't get there. So the sincerity is He's telling us, you have to rely on Him, and He'll help. Nice. That's bhakti. One last question.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. From the Nectar and Devotion, you presented the definition of anartha nivritti, where you mentioned bhajana kriya begins after taking initiation.
No, it doesn't say bhajana kriya begins after taking initiation. It doesn't say that. In the next stage, one becomes initiated. So somewhere in that bhajana kriya stage. Now that doesn't mean that before you're initiated, there's no anartha nivritti going on. It's not a bucket. And then there's another bucket, and it's not like that. These are categories, and there's overlapping of those categories. Should I elaborate, or you understand?
Thank you.
Anartha nivritti keeps going beyond the anartha nivritti. Bhajana kriya keeps going on beyond the anartha nivritti, or beyond the bhajana kriya. Those are categories for analysis' sake, but they're overlapping of them. Is it clear?
Clear, Maharaj.
Does that address your question?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.